Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Wednesday edition, the Thanksgiving Eve edition, the Packers Lions Ford Field tomorrow noon. Found out why they're starting at noon now instead of 11:30.
TV money.
Parade.
Yeah.
No, they, it's TV.
All those years of that parade going down the main street there in downtown Detroit, they've finally given.
Jason.
Yeah.
Whenever you ask a question about sports and why someone's doing something, what have I taught you over 10
years? It's usually money. I believe them on the parade thing, though. Thanksgiving Day parade's huge. Santa?
Yeah, move the parade. They could, if they really wanted to start at 11:30, the game, they'd move the parade. Let's keep it real now. Ain't accommodating no parade.
Speaking of keeping it real.
Oh, you know, we were going to start the Super Bowl at 5:30, but, well, there's a parade. Come on now.
This really does upend the tradition of at least one family member saying, oh, they started at 11:30? I thought it was noon.
That's Aunt Sally, isn't it? Is it Aunt Sally?
Cindy.
Phyllis.
Cindy. Aunt Cindy.
Phyllis is at your
place. And the... we discussed whether it's IPT to use your neighbor's garbage receptacle for your dog's business. Is it IPT when your order, which you paid for, was not just a gift from Meat Santa, when your order arrived yesterday when you were at Lambeau and you've got your meat sticks and your jerky, moist jerky? Is it inappropriate to eat it during the show edition?
Nah, go for it.
All right, good. I'm going to right now.
No.
Of Wilde and Tausch.
Gross.
I'm not come on, Jesse.
Gross. It's gross.
On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, and, of course, everything you need on the ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay, and I have two dogs who are very excited about what Meat Santa sent us as well. HallOfFameBeef.com for Joe Thomas's website. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Is that a throwback Wisconsin hoodie there? Or is that
kind
did you get that new?
It's new, and I love it. It's super comfy. It looks nicer than the average sweatshirt.
Yeah,
but it's got like the little front pouch. I love this shirt. This is one of my new favorite shirts that I just
and it's
got.
Let's see the front pouch. I love let's see. Back up a little bit. It's like you could be an offensive coordinator with that.
Yeah.
You look like Paul Chryst. You got the headset and everything. All you need is a turnover chain, my blank and blank. And from his undisclosed location, he's Mr. Thanksgiving, and he's Mr. Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Hey, buddy. I'm doing good. I just had it. You came out of the gates trying to tell me that they're moving something NFL-wise, you know, for a parade.
Why you always got to be that way?
I ain't got to be that way. I want to be honest with our fans, man. I don't, like, it's great that they're saying it's for a parade, but That parade's been going on 150 years. All of a sudden, now they're doing it? Like, come on. I'm guessing Fox and or is the game on Fox or CBS tomorrow?
Fox. Fox.
I'm guessing Fox is probably like, you know what, man? Do us a solid here and let's start this puppy at noon. And Detroit's like, yep, we're good with that. That's what I'm guessing.
So I guess my question back to you, since I know that's your default setting, is follow the money, is why is the noon start better for them from a television perspective, though? Like, what would you say is the reason that that would be better? Uniformity?
Yeah,
well, why is it better than the 11:30 start? Theoretically, if you start at 11:30, you could actually jam in more commercials.
I'm not a TV executive.
Consistency, same as all their other noon starts all year.
Every other game starts at noon. 11:30 always was an outlier, and now with the fact that they got a trifecta of games going on, they want to have it spaced out in a normal way that fits the normal viewing habits of its viewers. That would be my guess, but I can assure you they probably look at minute by minute, and they probably look at it like, boy, more people were going at noon than it was at 11:30, so let's start it there. Just like they want to start after Labor Day, there's always rhyme and reason to what they're doing, and that's there's nothing wrong about that, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, Marky.
It could be, Chucky's throwing some candy out at 11:45. So if there's any way, because Chucky wants to throw candy out at the end of the parade and the fire trucks are going to come through downtown Detroit, if we could move it for that. Yeah, the NFL, I'm sure, is saying, yep, you know what? I think that's pretty good. We want to make sure Chuck gets to throw his candy at the end of it. Like, come on, Jason. You're smarter than that.
Well, I hate it when
you are. You're a smart guy.
But to the argument that you're making, do you know when they started these Thanksgiving night games? 2006. They've been around 20 years, and suddenly now they've done 19 years of three games on Thanksgiving with an 11:30 start to the first one, and now they've magically discovered, oh my God, we can make more money by moving it to noon.
19th year's the charm.
They've been doing the parade for 200 years, and they all of a sudden now decided they want to have the parade bumped to half hour? Come on now.
Some kid like, was.
I'll trump your 20 and give you 200 years of parades, and I'm guessing the 200 years of parades will trump the 20 years of three games.
Some kid was 5 years old when he watched the first Thursday night game
and
in 2006.
He did get Chucky's candy because they had to cut the parade off.
Now he's interning in the league office, and when they did the schedule release back in May, he said, hey, guys, here's an idea. Why don't we start it at noon like every other game all year?
We're all on the same page with this, right? We like it. Like this
yeah,
is
it's
better.
Good. Yeah.
Yes.
Extra 30 minutes to get to relatives' house, sleep
better.
In, make your turkey, all that stuff.
Unless you're an old curmudgeon and you just want to be an angry elf, you're going to say, "Yeah, this is better. It fits. It makes sense."
So, I'm not a curmudgeon. I'm not an angry elf. Roger Goodell said at the NFL meetings, to your point, that they prefer the traditional windows. But again, I was also reading in the Detroit Free Press that the people that run the parade have always been frustrated with it butting up against the game.
Oh, my God.
Hey, man, you got to let Santa
close out. Like
the
NFL gives two rips about Freddy's parade. They care that Freddy's parade is running.
Who is Chucky? Who are these fictional characters
in the parade
that you've created for the
people
parade?
That the NFL want you to think they're acquiescing to? Let me tell you something. The NFL acquiesces to no one.
That's
ask
true.
Ask the NBA.
That's
okay,
true.
So let's stop. Tell the Detroit Free Press that's a cute little story. That's cute, but it's baloney. Okay?
Is the Detroit
baloney?
Is the Detroit Parade on TV anywhere? Can we watch the Detroit Parade?
I think it's on TV in Detroit.
Stream it. Peacock.
I've watched it in that press box.
It's unbelievable that Jason Wilde, 30-year veteran of journalism, doesn't see through that. Like, that is amazing to me. But I digress. Anyways, I think we found the solution to what this game is going to be all about. I don't care. If I'm being honest, great that they moved it to noon. Don't care about the Detroit Free Press trying to tell us that the NFL is going to move something because Freddie organized a parade and wants it to go a half hour later. Do you know how absurd that sounds when you say it out loud?
Are you done?
Can you admit it sounds absurd?
I thought you said you were moving forward and you figured out what this game was about. And then you went back to the parade scheduling. You went back to it.
Can you admit how absurd your words you just uttered from the Detroit Free Press sound? That the NFL is acquiescing so Frankie can run a parade a half hour later than he wants to.
And I think it's acquiesce. I never said they were acquiescing.
I don't know when we're doing the green and gold preview.
Next.
I don't know all of that, but I saw.
I wish we were doing it right
now. Then I can wait.
Detroit's played on Thanksgiving since 1934, and this parade's just always been upset that they start at the same time every year.
We finally got the NFL to bend the knee. We finally got them. It took us 180 years, but son of a gun. The fact that we brought extra Tootsie Rolls and we said we'd throw those out at 11:45 and that will allow us to move that game to – it's not that they want to have more pregame programming and sell commercials. No, Jason, it's because Freddie wants to throw Tootsie Pops at Johnny down on Ford Avenue outside of Ford Field. That's what happened. Oh, Lord.
The parade never thought, let's go 30 minutes earlier. They thought they'd take on the NFL for 100 years.
That would be – hey, not many folks beat the NFL, but Freddie and the Detroit Downtown Parade Committee, they found a way to win. We need to get those guys to start figuring out how we can get – hey, Jason, did the Ford Press put in what – who is the spokesperson? Because I want to hire that person to get my thoughts on getting where you can pick your opponent in the playoffs. They're so good at lobbying the NFL and changing the game times that I want them to come and do this too. I can't do it. McAfee ain't helping. Who did we have on that I thought? Greeny. I don't think Greeny's helping. So I want to get this parade organizer who actually gets things done to see if we can do it.
For those of you headed to Detroit for Thanksgiving who are interested in the parade, it starts at 8:45 a.m. Eastern time on Woodward Avenue and Kirby Streets. And it ends at Woodward and Congress in downtown Detroit. So make sure you get there early. Also, they're warning the traffic is very challenging on Thursdays for Thanksgiving
parade. That's why they had to move the game. Next year they're moving it to 12:30 because there's too much traffic.
They're going to put it right up against the Cowboys game. I also would like to get to, if I may, as we continue to discuss parade scheduling. I asked Matt LaFleur something yesterday. I asked Jordan Love something about this yesterday too. I am curious, Tausch, when it comes to Jordan Love's injury, what should our concern level be? Because as I've brought up previously, you saw how much pain Carson Wentz was in. You saw Baker Mayfield suffer the same injury as well and leave the game on Sunday night. Jordan, I would not say we got contentious, but at one point he did say, I'm not going to tell you what all we're doing to protect me from the injury, but he has poo-pooed it. And I think that there's more there because my biggest clue is that when he had the broken thumb or the torn ligament in his thumb, surgically repaired thumb, he still handed off with his left hand when the games started, and he didn't do that on Sunday. He handed off with his right hand, even though the play would have called for him to hand off with his left hand. So clearly the jarring of handing the ball off to a on-rushing running back was going to cause enough pain in his shoulder that he didn't do it. So is this something you were on the team in 2008 when Rodgers played with this injury in his throwing shoulder? Is this something that we're not leery enough of, do you think?
I don't know how leery everybody is of it. And again, I think if he's out there playing, nobody is thinking about it, but probably Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love. Like, I, as a viewer, I understand that he's out there and he's not 100%. I would think where it will come into play, obviously you mentioned handing the football off. How much is he going to want to run? because that has been a nice add to what he's done this year. Last year, with the injuries that he had early with his leg and his knee and everything else, he didn't do that, and that was, I think, one of the reasons that maybe he didn't have the year that we all kind of thought he would.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of it, I think, is a concern. Obviously,
woof, woof.
Take any of the issue, you know, take any time he takes a hit and where that could leave him. But I think Jordan is, he is a tough son of a gun that's going to go out there, and unless he's pulled off the field, he's going to get out there and play. So I can't, as a former player, say, you know, don't do that or whatever. I get it. And by the way, this is the unfortunate part. Once you decide that you're going to go out there and perform, yeah, there's some limitations, but
you're
don't care
be
about
judged.
All the other stuff.
Yep.
I nobody does. Like, it's about the results, and that's the reality of playing in this league, is that you need to fight through stuff, and it sucks when you're not playing at 100%. But at this time of year, everybody will tell you, nobody's really at 100%. But with Jordan, I think you have to be smarter about how you call a game. That's why I thought, obviously, Sunday was a really good performance by Matt, because he understood the big picture, and everybody that was, you know, cussing him out, you don't have to apologize, but you should at least think through. And now with a game where you think you might have to score more points,
that's exactly why I think it's a story.
All of this, it's definitely a story. There's no doubt about it. But it's a story that, hey, you're going to go out there and play. You're going to go out there and play. And we're going to do what we need to do to win. And if you can't do that, then we need to at least think about doing some other things, too, to kind of sprinkle in and try to find a way to beat the Detroit Lions on parade day. We're going to call it parade day tomorrow.
I want you to hear how Matt LaFleur answered that question yesterday, because I did ask about it. Here is that exchange between the Packers head coach and me.
And I know every injury is different, but Baker Mayfield got knocked out with the same injury that Jordan has. Wentz had it earlier in the year. How impressed have you been just with his toughness to be able to play through this?
Yeah, I think it speaks a lot to him, and just in regards to his mindset, his mentality, and how tough he is. I mean, it takes a lot of physical and mental toughness to play the quarterback position, to be able to stand in there, especially when you are injured, knowing that you're probably going to get hit at some point. So I thought he exuded that. I thought there were some moments where I was kind of holding my breath at times where he's getting hit and releasing the ball. And we got to do a better job just collectively as an offense of making sure there were a few miscommunications up front where we allowed free runners in the lap of the quarterback, and just had some mental mistakes. So we can't allow that to happen, especially on the road against, you know, a premier football team like the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, there were moments when he got guys unblocked, and he made that great throw to Wicks on Sunday that went over the linebacker.
More you watch that throw, it's insane how good that was. And it's kind of crazy. Probably shouldn't have thrown it.
Probably not. But, again, I feel like we, with Brett Favre, oh, my God, the ultimate Iron Man, right? And deservedly so. I'm not saying he didn't deserve.
He played 297 straight games.
And he played. My point is that he played hurt a bunch there, right? You were in that Giants game where he ran back onto the field when he'd been diagnosed with a concussion and ran away from the medical staff and threw a touchdown. You remember all this? The ankle being all different colors of purple, broken thumb 1 year, sprained thumb another year. Rodgers played through just about everything except a broken collarbone. I just feel like there's this expectation that Favre set, and it gets less and less impressive, and I just don't think that should be the case. I think it's impressive what Jordan's doing. I think he deserves credit for that. Just like it's impressive what Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors are doing every time we talk about him.
And when it comes to your home, the smart play is to trust Gina Della and her team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. This month only, score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows. for as low as $297 a month with zero interest for up to 72 months. That is like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable. And today, I don't know about y'all, but down here, wind is whipping, snow is flying, and the beautiful part about it, feel beautiful inside because there's no drafts because of the great defense played by Pella Windows. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
The Green and Gold game previews next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We got Brian Vlogger today, so let's get to the Green and Gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the Green and Gold game preview.
Parade day in Detroit. The Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. Noon kickoff, one of the games we've had circled all season long.
To a parade, what's the one thing you want?
I hate parades.
I love a parade.
Good marching band.
Santa. No. I mean from a candy standpoint. Back when they used to fire candy.
Hey. Your shtick's been great. I appreciate you making fun of me for the last 25 minutes.
Starburst.
I want to get to Bulaga. Save your candy conversation for later.
The correct answer is Tootsie Pop.
You already made that joke once.
They're not throwing
Tootsie. No, not Tootsie Rolls. The actual Tootsie Pop where you lick and you get to the middle, this gooey center.
The gooey center, quote.
Yeah.
It's a Tootsie
Roll. Jesse! Yeah.
Got the owl.
What?
Got the owl on there.
What is the big storyline heading into Packers-Lions on Thanksgiving Day, Tausch?
Well, I'm going to take a page from Jason Wilde, and it's an untold story. How healthy is Jordan Love? How healthy is he? I don't know. I haven't read Channel 3000 yet. All I keep reading is the Detroit Free Press hearing about this parade. But the Jordan Love injury and what the limitations are or aren't going to be are going to be really interesting to me. And I think that is an untold little nugget for this game.
It has been untold. I haven't finished it yet. I need to get it posted to channel3000.com. The other story that I'm finishing up this morning is about Kamal Haddon. And I really like Kamal. He is from the Detroit area. He grew up in Ypsilanti, which is fun to say. But this could be a big problem. I tell you I'm not a fan. I sometimes root for people. I hope it goes really well for Kamal if he has to play and they can't get Keyshawn Nixon cleared because he had never played an NFL regular season snap before Sunday. And now you could be going in with CV and Kamal as your top corners against this offense. That could be problematic. So we'll see later today. I'm guessing that Keyshawn Nixon will be listed as questionable. And they will take it up to the 90 minutes before kickoff, which would have been 10 a.m. Wisconsin time if the game was still at 11:30, but instead it'll be at 10:30.
See, this is what I love about you. You complain about me, but then you poke me back.
I was trying to make you smile.
You're a poker.
I was trying to make you smile, and it worked.
You're
Look
an
at
edge.
That big grin.
You're Woody Woodpecker. You are, I'll complain about it, but
no,
I'm going to agitate and poke you. Your shtick.
That's not
we got you.
I like
that's
making 100%. The old boy smile. So Kamal Haddon, that is the storyline. Next.
The big storyline for one of the biggest division games of the year is Kamal Haddon.
Yeah, when he gets cooked by Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown
Jesse.
At Cindy's house, you're going to be
wait
saying,
a second.
Ooh, Jason was right.
Now we got Johnny Moderator critiquing your answer to your question?
Yeah, that's,
Oh, you got some nerve, Jesse.
Jason, besides Jordan Love and Micah Parsons, which Packers player will most impact the amount of success the Packers have tomorrow? Is it your guy?
Well, no, I'm not going to do that again, especially to be critiqued by you. I'm going to say Zach Tom. Zach Tom got hurt in the first game when, in my opinion, Aiden Hutchinson cheap-shotted his quarterback after that interception that was wiped out by penalty. And then Zach Tom had a dive over Love so he wouldn't hit him. And that's when his whole injury issues began. They have to shut down Aiden Hutchinson because of what we said about Jordan Love and what he's playing through. They cannot have him spending the afternoon, since it starts at 12 noon Wisconsin time. They can't have him spending the entire afternoon in the backfield. I couldn't get through it without laughing. Sorry.
Tausch?
Yeah?
Why don't
what
I
was
ask
the
you?
Question? Old long, why don't I, old long windy over yeah, here.
This, this is why we always
minutes.
Have you go first.
Come on ahead. I have an answer. Come on ahead. No, this game is going to be won or lost up front, as most NFL games are. But I have a fun little stat that I stole from somebody on Twitter about the run game. And I think the key to stopping this, obviously our big guys taking on their big guys, but our linebackers need to be on point stopping. If we slow down and limit what Gibbs, and I believe they're going to go more with Montgomery, Green Bay is going to be in a good spot.
Interesting. Jahmyr Gibbs is a problem. We all can agree on that. All right, Jesse, what's the last question?
The Packers sweep the season series with the Lions and get a win in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. If blank. How do you fill in that blank, okay. Tausch?
Great question, Jesse. I think it's one of your best questions of the year.
Well, thank you.
And because
it's the same
I have
question good... we ask in this preview every week.
You don't get the show sometimes, do you? He just does it, Jesse. You know what I mean? So
can't play along.
This game, like when you see now, we have enough sample size to kind of get an idea of what is the formula. What's the formula for the G&G? What's Detroit's formula? Detroit is 6-0 when they run for over 100 yards. The Green Bay Packers, when giving up more than 100 yards, guess what their record is, boys?
0-6.
What's the matter with you?
Well, I was trying to play along.
You're hung up on some article from the Detroit Free Press. 0-3-1. How many losses and ties do the Green Bay Packers have this year?
Three losses, total. One tie.
Yeah, four total.
And when they don't do that, they win football games.
Has this stat been vetted? You said it, I quote, I got it from somebody on Twitter.
You didn't even cite it with anyone that you were citing it to. You just
Well, I saw it enough to know that it's verifiable. It wasn't just one person. 6-0 Detroit if they run it. But the point is, and what I always say when Green Bay plays golf, you let him get comfortable, he's going to eat your lunch. The opening day of the season, he wasn't comfortable. Matter of fact, he was rattled. The reason he gets rattled is when he has to drop back and throw, and the Green Bay Packers can get him off his spot and moving. He is an average to below average quarterback. He is great when he's in the pocket, feet set. When they run the ball and can stay normal down in distance and be able to use the play action, that is what separates Detroit. That's where they're really good. If they don't and can't run it and you get to go hunt, which is what Green Bay did in game one, the Green Bay Packers will beat the Detroit Lions. That's how this game is going to play out, in my opinion.
I appreciate you taking both of the answers by making it about Goff off the spot. I channeled my inner Mark Tauscher yesterday when we talked to Jeff Hafley, and we talked extensively about getting him off the spot, which you talk about every time they play Jared Goff. So because that will be my answer. If they can successfully pressure Jared Goff and get him out of rhythm and uncomfortable, because Tausch is right, when that happens, things get ugly. And when the game is over, then you, if you are a member of the Packers defense, are celebrating with an icy cold Coors Light.
Indeed, and whether you're tailgating pregame, celebrating after a big win, or just being happy with your family. Crack open at Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light Brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
Brian Belaga's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
You know what that music means.
Parade's ended early, boys.
Joining us now, he was the honorary captain last Sunday, along with Corey Linsley. He is a future Packers Hall of Famer. And more importantly, he joins us every Wednesday. He is Brian Belaga on Wildy and Tausch. Brian, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. I thought we were still in commercial. I was almost like
we're changing some stuff up on the music.
Different things
for a variety of reasons. So that's
what you get for not saying hi to me at Lambeau on Sunday.
Oh yeah, I was gonna go find you, Jeff.
Brian.
Go,
you snubbed Jesse on Sunday.
Pretty rude. I thought we were pals.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you were never I was gonna pals. Go, come on.
Yeah, I was gonna go. I was going to go in the crowd and try to find Jesse wherever he was. I told him I'm going to go wander around.
He was in the sleeping section.
I didn't even know you were going to be there. I was grabbing a Coors Light, and my wife Becca goes, "Hey, that's Belaga." And I was like, "No, it's not." I mean, sure enough, it was.
You waved directly at him. I saw it.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I saw Tausch at the tailgate. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. I was where I needed to be early in the morning. I don't know where you were.
Jesse.
I don't know what to tell you.
Huh. Yeah. Hey,
I mean, I was at our employer's place of work. I don't know you were doing, Jesse. Just saying.
We were scouting the competition.
Okay.
Great family photo you guys took at Lambeau. It was great to see you from the seventh floor looking down on you. I did not see you in person either because I was at the Tundra Trio a little bit after you had been there, but in plenty of time to see Tausch in his George Costanza Gore-Tex coat.
He looked warm.
He looked warm.
Look at that.
He looked like a giant Hershey's kiss. I'm curious. We were talking about two things up until the time you joined us, the big Thanksgiving Day parade in Detroit, and Jordan Love playing with this AC joint injury in his non-throwing shoulder. I'm curious, you were obviously the right tackle in 2014 when Rodgers was playing with the torn calf down the stretch, right? Tausch was there in 2008. When Rodgers was playing in an Atlanta game with an AC joint injury in his throwing shoulder. When you are protecting a quarterback that you know is hurting, obviously you want to do a good job no matter what. But is there a heightened sense of responsibility? And do the Packers need to have that after allowing free runners to the Vikings on multiple occasions on Sunday?
Yeah, that was one thing we kind of noticed a little bit of that against, you know, the Giants. Like, there was a couple occasions of that against the Giants.
Dexter Lawrence supposed to be double teamed, and he got no one blocked him instead.
Yes, and then there were a couple occasions of that just in blitz pickup against Minnesota. That happened a couple times. I saw it live, and then I went back and watched it yesterday, and it happened a couple times against Minnesota. I mean, they were pipe blitzes. They brought one too many, and it just, the pass offs between the back and the guards, it got jumbled a little bit, right? It just, the communication was off a little bit, and maybe that's the case when Jacobs isn't in there. Jacobs is really good at blitz pickup. He's really good at that. And maybe that's a case of that. You know, I don't know, but you can't have that when your quarterback has a issue with his shoulder. right? I mean, and that's the shoulder that's exposed right away. And obviously, he's always going to expose that shoulder instead of his throwing shoulder, if he's going to get hit. He's always going to put that shoulder first. And now that shoulder is a little bit compromised. So that's a problem at this point. But I remember when Aaron hurt that calf, he hurt it in Tampa in 2014, if I remember.
You're right. He blamed the turf. Yep.
Yeah, it was the turf.
He blamed the turf.
It was the turf. Yeah, it was the turf. From what I recall, it was very warm that day. It was very warm, unseasonably warm. If I recall, now that I live down here, seasonably warm. But regardless, I remember sitting in that meeting for the Dallas game because we had, I think we were the 2 seed. So we were sitting in the meeting. We had that week off and we were sitting in the meeting. I remember Campy just telling us, like, he can't move. He can't be touched. Like, he's not going to move. So, like, just he's not going to move around the pocket. He can't be touched. So as much time as he needs, if he needs 5 seconds, if he needs 6 seconds, you're going to have to give it to him. And that was the mentality that we had going into that playoff stretch was, you have to give him every second that he needs to get, to make his decisions and get rid of the ball. And I mean, he could move, obviously, what he needed to do, but like running and doing what he normally did that entire year was out of the cards, right? Like he just wasn't going to be able to do that with that calf. And you kind of knew what was coming up because not only was it Dallas, but then it was next week in Seattle as well. And you were kind of thinking, you weren't thinking ahead because you had to take care of Dallas, but you knew in Seattle, like, okay, well, if he can't move in Dallas and then he can't move in Seattle, and we know what Seattle presents, like this is going to be a little bit of an issue. Like this is a problem because Seattle creates problems with a 4-man rush, not just, Dallas brought a little bit more pressure than what Seattle did. But the mentality you have to have is you have to be able to hold up for the 4 seconds. Like that was our mentality, is 4 seconds, let the quarterback have all the space he needs to deliver on time without pressure. And that's the thought. And with this Lions pass rush, with how good they are on the edges, you should be able to set a firmer pocket up front and run the edges around high and wide and let him step up into this pocket. But it seems like there's been a little bit of leakage through the middle of the pocket, which is...
if a fire hose is leakage.
Yeah, which creates an issue, right? Like, I mean, because the thing you want to be able to do against the Lions is let Hutchinson and those guys run up the field and let that high and wide rush kind of wash itself up and let Jordan Love be able to step up and deliver a strike and do what he needs to do. But if there's pressure up the middle and then he steps back and then there's Hutchinson and those guys kind of around the edge, right, that creates the issue. So these guys need to be able to just in their minds think like we need to be able to hold up. I mean, and maybe the mentality shouldn't be 4 seconds. Maybe it should be like the 3 seconds or something like that. Maybe that should be the mentality, but it should be we can't
What's
get him touched.
What's that old bull riding movie? 5 seconds, right? The bull riding movie with Dylan McKay? What was that, Jason? You know what I'm talking about, where you got to ride a bull for, what, 8 seconds?
I was going to say eight. I think it's 8 seconds, yes.
Yeah, eight or seven,
Blue,
like that.
Blue,
seven
was
or
a
eight
bull
or
rider.
Six or seven.
Yeah.
Blue,
yeah.
When you looked back at the film, tell me what you saw with Jordan Morgan and then when Belton came in. Can you kind of give us a taste of what you saw and if you think what Green Bay did was the right play?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and pile on. Like, that's not what I'm here to do. Yep. But, like,
that's Jason's
the first
job.
Play. Yeah.
That seemed unnecessary.
That's what The first play was kind of like a little bit of an indication, right? Like you look at the first play of the game was a little bit of an indication of kind of how that kind of was the onset of how that went, right? I mean, first play of the game, it was a simple kind of like a slant across his face from the 3-tech and Jordan just kind of, he didn't adjust to it and it was a, tackle for a loss. And it kind of just kind of set in motion what took place for the rest of the day for him. And And they move in Belton, and Belton just adjusted really well to what Minnesota was doing, and he adjusted the physicality of the game really well. And he stepped up and played played well with the opportunities given to him, right? I thought he was really good in the run game, very physical. He and Tom were good on double teams and things like that. In the pass game, I thought he was good as well. Like, you know, I think considering he's a tackle, right? Like, again, this is a tackle that has only gotten tackle reps throughout his time playing snaps in the NFL. Now he's shifting to guard as well. For him to make that switch mid-game and take guard snaps, I thought he did a good job as well, kicking into guard and playing guard. So he had a good game for having to come in cold and do what he had to do. And I think that's going to be that's probably going to be which way they go to start this game off in Detroit is with Belton. And for Jordan Morgan, it's kind of been the same look, right? I mean, I thought when he was playing well early, right? Like, I thought he was getting a little bit better early on, and then we've seen a little bit of a step back, unfortunately. Like, I think he's not, I don't want to say like he's like regressed and he's gotten, like, I don't want to say that, but I think he just hasn't continued to progress the way they thought he would at guard. And to me, like, you and I have talked about this too, Tosh, like, I think he's a tackle. And like, when you've hit a ceiling at guard, like, that's going to, like, you're at where you're at. And that, to me, is kind of where he is at his guard.
Hey, Blue, is,
you know,
when you're analyzing that, is it more of a lateral movement? Is it a taking on power? Or what makes you say that? Like, where do you think he struggled the most when it's come to guard play?
I think it's power. And when you're nervous about taking on power, that compromises you in other areas, right? Like, so if you're nervous about being able to,
you set your feet quicker than you need to, and you get concrete booted. Yep.
Yes. So, like, you're worried about, am I going to be able to hold up against power? So then you start to anchor really quick, and then guys, the movement gets you, right? Then you get beat against speed. And it creates problems early on in pass sets and even in the run game too, right? You're trying to get your feet down really quick, but then there's movement and you're not able to adjust to it, right? You're, like you said, your feet are in concrete, and I mean, the block's over. Like, you've lost the block before it's even started. And to me, that's kind of where he's been. And you kind of saw it against Philly. He had issues with power against Philly. He had issues against power against the Giants, and then he kind of had issues against movement against Minnesota. And to me, it all goes back to power. And there's a difference, and I want to make sure everyone understands, there's a difference of handling power on the inside and on the outside. There is a difference of handling difference on the edge and then on the interior. Again, I always relate back to myself because I did it. And I don't, Tosh, I don't know if you took reps at guard when you first got into the league. I don't know if you did or not.
Oh, yeah. I did.
It's a different beast. It just is. It's a different beast taking on guys on the inside than it is
quick
on the outside.
Everything.
Yes.
You have to make quicker decisions. You don't have the reaction time. You have to snap stuff off. Like, it is a anyone that thinks it's, oh, you're playing O-line, it's like two different worlds.
Yeah.
It really
is. those guys weigh 330 pounds. Like, they're big. They're fat. Like, and some guys' frames are just able to take on that weight. Like, I'm being dead honest. Like, some guys' body frames are able to take on that weight. Some guys aren't. Like, yeah, I could take on 330-pounders when they're looping out to me and twisting and, like, TE stunts and things like that. That was great. That was fine. That was no problem. I enjoyed that. That was really good. But for me to just try to anchor down on those guys on regular rushes like TJ or Sitton were able to do, Not my cup of tea. It just wasn't my thing. I wasn't able to do it as well as those guys were. And it's not, and that's kind of what I see for Jordan Morgan. So for the people saying, like, if he can't play guard, there's no way he could play tackle. I'm not taking that judgment.
So,
like, I disagree with that.
Last point, and I know we got to get to break. Jason,
I knew you were
going to
do this.
I knew you knew.
I knew you knew.
what do you think of Jason's plan?
It's not
because
my
his
plan.
Thought was Belton's a big, strong dude. Don't know. You know, I think they drafted him to be a tackle. Obviously, it looks like he's going to be playing guard at least for the rest of this season, and we'll see. But maybe not the best pass blocker yet. We don't know. We haven't seen enough. What do you think? Every other spot rotates. Jason thought Jordan Morgan might be a little bit better as a pass protector. What if it's a third and six plus, you have a pass blocking specialist as a guard run out on the field and go out there and handle it? What do you think of Jason's plan?
You don't have to dignify this with a response. He's being a dink.
Blue, he brought it up and said it. And now he's innovating the offensive line. Nobody's done it ever. And now because he's taking a little shrapnel, I think it's an intriguing plan. What do you think?
You've completely misrepresented what I said.
Well, I mean, the way that plan is presented, I would say no. I would say that's not a good idea. I would say that's not a good idea.
As much as I would love to waste more time on this fictional plan I have, we need to get to more Brian Bulaga. Taush, we need to do our Iron Jock contest Brian's segments.
Oh, my God.
Clearly, we got to go 75.
Brian, in the grasps of Thanksgiving, and we are very thankful for you coming on our show and provide. You do such a great job when you join us. I'm going to set the reference that the highest number we ever went with is 140. 140 calls. We breezed through it. Riley Yauch handled it like a champ. I am going to let you pick between 1 and 141. What number caller you want Jesse to take to get this awesome, lightweight Iron Jock hoodie. So you get to pick, you know, because it's Thanksgiving. So, Brian, what number would you like Jesse to have to take today?
Oh, man, this is so – I would like – let's do 136. 136.
That's fair.
That sounds good.
Not quite setting the record, but happened to work. Caller 136. I've worn just about every type of workout gear there is, and nothing compares to Iron Jock. Performance apparel is built to fight sweat, odor, and bacteria, keeping you feeling fresh no matter how hard you push. Iron Jock is introducing four new, and these lightweight hoodies are awesome. World-class cooling, wicking, and if you're a little bigger, they got that four-way stretch that just makes you feel unbelievable. Go to ironjock.com to get your hoodie today. That's ironjock.com, but you don't even have to do that right now. Brian Bulaga said caller 136. If you're caller 136, you win a new Iron Jock hoodie. Iron Jock lightweight hoodie. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 136 to win the Iron Jock lightweight hoodie. Blue, that was perfect. I would have went 139 just so he couldn't set the record and had to take as many calls, but well done by you, Blue.
Thank you. Thank you.
You guys. Poor Jesse. I never thought I'd say this, but poor Jesse. We will have more from Brian Bulaga if Jesse can take all 136 calls to get our winner of the Iron Jock gear. Next, it's Wilde and Taush.
What a fun morning.
This is Wilde and Taush, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I cannot tell a lie. I was concerned we might not be back on the air because our producer would be lying in a pool of his own sweat on the floor of the producer's room.
Well, he's got an Iron Jock hoodie on. He's got that's lightweight, cooling, wiggy. He's going to be fine. Don't worry about gel.
We made
Jesse,
it.
You got a winner?
We do. Congrats to Greg. Big winner. Caller 136.
So, Jesse, by the way, my old neighbor and buddy, Devin, who kind of got us on this longer because he's a streamer, he was caller 122, and he continues to say how much he appreciates the fact we've ramped this up so that the streamers have a good shot at getting this Iron Jock hoodie. So, I know it's a lot of work, Blue. Great job doing that. It gives more people opportunities, which is what we're looking for.
Yep. Yeah. The call lines get bogged down, and you know, everyone deserves a chance.
Yep, what do you exactly know? You've right, never so. Done a show here in a studio before.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Oh, there's become a nice rivalry between Blue and Jesse now.
Yeah, I mean, no wonder he didn't come say hi to you at the game.
Yeah. This is for the fans. I mean, come on, man.
Yes, like, Jesse.
I mean, let's, jeez.
Hey, absolutely. I mean, Blue, do you think, so my theory on this game is Detroit runs for less than 100, Green Bay wins. Detroit runs for more, Green Bay might be in trouble. What are your thoughts on that theory?
That's Tausch's theory. Jason. That's Tausch's theory because he saw a stat from somebody on Twitter.
I mean, listen, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a heck of a theory because, I mean, because I look at it, if Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery, I heard you before, you think Montgomery's going to be more of the guy this week? Is that
well,
what
I just
I
think,
heard you say,
obviously, Josh? You know, Gibbs had a monster game last week. And it wasn't – I don't think he had a ton of carries, but he had a ton of yards and where all.
Yeah.
You just feel like Detroit sees this as we need to out-physical them in the run game because I think they know if they're looking at third and six plus and having to protect even at home, I think they know it's going to be trouble with Goff.
Yes.
That's my theory.
Yeah, and they know they got pushed around in Green Bay. Like, let's be real. Yeah, they got –
Yep.
They got pushed around, and they know that too. So there's going to be a little bit of a point of emphasis this week for Detroit. So I would tend to lean on the side of kind of agreeing with you a little bit. Like if they start getting over, if they get over 100 yards, that means the game is going a certain type of way for Detroit. You know what I mean? That means the style of that game is leaning in a certain type of way, right? Like they're not really airing it out. Green Bay isn't having their way of controlling the line of scrimmage and making Detroit play their style defensively, right? The way Green Bay wants to play. Green Bay wants to get into that third and long and rush the passer. And Detroit, we all know how they want to play. They want to be in third and short and run the rock and do what they want to do and then play action it and do those things. So if Detroit starts to, if they get to 100 and over running the ball, the game has gone a certain way, right? And it's a low possession game. It's not the type of game that Green Bay, I think, wants to be in with Detroit. To me, at least, that's the way I look at it. So I would tend to agree with that a little bit. I don't want Green Bay to be in that type of game right now, to be honest with you.
Brian, I brought this up earlier. You know, we've known each other long enough, and you know how much I love a good story. Kamal Haddon is a really good story, right? He's going back to Detroit where he grew up. He went in, got his first NFL defensive action on Sunday against the Vikings because of Keyshawn Nixon's stinger. He had never played a snap of defense in the NFL. As much as I love a good story, and as much as I like Kamal personally, if I was a Packers fan, I'd be nervous about him having to play as a starting corner in this game if Keyshawn Nixon's stinger does not clear up in time for kickoff. To Tausch's point about running the football, what do you expect if that is the case? I'm guessing that Jared Goff and Dan Campbell, who's taken over the play calling, would also like to take advantage of an inexperienced corner trying to keep up with a Jameson Williams or an Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I think that will be a target if that is the case. I think they will go to the well there early to test him if he is out there. There's no doubt that will be something that they try to test and see if that's something that's going to be fruitful on the day. I mean, let's just be real. Like it's not being disrespectful to him. It's an unproven commodity in the NFL, and they have premier players, right? Like you have two premier wide receivers, and you have an unknown at corner. If he does start and play, if Nixon's out, they are going to test him and see if that's going to be an option they can continue to go to time and time and again. There's no doubt about it. So, it's hard to say right now, like, should we be super concerned about it without really knowing much about him as a player, besides that he just got his first rep as a defensive player last week, right? Like, you don't know much about it and about him. Does it make you, like, give you the warm and fuzzies going up against Detroit in your first week? I mean, not really. It doesn't. You'd rather have Nixon out there against that group of wideouts, for sure. But the guys that are out there have to step up and play, right? And if Nixon can't play, Halfley's going to have to adjust that defense to protect him. And it's going to be obvious, right? Like, it's going to have to be obvious that of what he's doing, and the other guys away from him are going to have to take the responsibility, right? They're going to have to be more in, they're going to be more compromised and be in one-on-one situations. And that's going to be the way this thing goes, right? And then the front four are going to have to take even more responsibility and get home even quicker. And that'll be the way this thing plays out. But there's something about Dan Campbell taking over the play calling that makes it seem more, this is going to be a, like, just as old Mike McCarthy would call it, a blood ball type of game. Like, blood ball.
Blood ball.
Just,
blood ball.
Just literally just run the ball and run the ball and run the ball, and then, like, then play action. Like, just run, play action. And, like, that's where you worry about him at corner, is that he gets – if Nixon doesn't play, that maybe he gets a little lulled to sleep a little bit, right, and over the runs and things like that. And that's when Williamson and St. Brown pop up, right? And that's kind of where the experience of, you know, Nixon and those guys that have played a lot of ball, kind of you want that experience because they've seen that. And that would be the only concern that I would have, right? I mean, because we know what those two receivers can do. They've done it to us already, right, in years mm-hmm. past. They didn't do it in week one, but they've done it in
they
the past.
Time to.
And we've seen yep. Yeah, and we've seen what they've been able to do to other teams before. So well, exactly. They didn't have time to do it in week one. And if our D-line can repeat that again, then they'll be able to protect those guys on the edge. And that's the whole point of this defense. But regardless, I mean, I'm hoping a stinger can clear up by tomorrow. At least I'm hoping.
Yeah, Quays didn't in
well,
time to play on Sunday.
The extra half hour, I think, is going to help get Keyshawn.
Keyshawn's going to go to the parade first.
All right, yeah, sure. So, I mean, Brian, we're like a neck roll. We're like a neck roll, right?
Oh,
like,
Johnny Offerdahl. John Offerdahl, the old linebacker. Yeah. What the neck roll, legit. Yeah. Blue, last one for me. To me, this is you can knock the Detroit Lions out of the NFC North from Green Bay's perspective if you beat them. I believe that. A thing I'm worried about, Detroit goes for it on fourth down a lot anyways. I think they are going to approach this like we are dumping it. This is a kitchen sink game. It's a parade and a kitchen sink game. They are going to empty everything out, and it's going to come down to, does Green Bay have enough to kind of handle that storm? What do you think? How do you see this game playing out, as just from your perspective?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. If Detroit doesn't win this game, they're in trouble in the division. Let's just be real with it, right? Like, if they don't win this game, they're in trouble in the division. Obviously, we don't know how Chicago's going to finish out, but Chicago's winning at a rate that I didn't really expect. So that's. Kind of an unexpected thing here. Yeah, no kidding. So I think you're right. I think Campbell's going to do anything and everything. I really do. I think he'll go for it unless it's like fourth and, you know, eight or longer.
26.
You know, yeah. I mean, he's done some wild things on his own half of the field too. So, like, maybe I'm off there. But I think they're going to empty everything out. Like, I really do. And it's, can Green Bay mentally stay in it long enough, right? Like, as the drives go on defensively, can the guys stay in it long enough mentally, knowing, like, like all these drives are four down drives. Like, don't think it's like, oh, we're off the field in three downs. Like, no, they're going to be four down drives. Like, just get ready for that. Like, if you think you get a stop on third and three and it's third and two, no, that's might as well just stay out there. Don't even celebrate. Don't put up the fist because it's fourth down. Nope. Just get ready to just stay back out there because they're going for it. Just know they're going for it. And that would be the mentality that, like, if I'm Halfley and LaFleur, that's what I'm telling the defense. Like, it's going to be four down territory almost all over the field because they have to. They have to win this game. Like, you look at the way that their division and or their division wins and everything are playing out. If they drop two to Green Bay in the division, that's difficult. That's a difficult spot to be in, especially with Green Bay having two more against Chicago and against Minnesota. And they've already lost to Minnesota. So, like, that's a tough spot for them to be in
at home
right now.
Right?
At home.
So that's a tough spot. And I think you're right, Tosh. I think Campbell's going to do whatever. I think he's going to do whatever and try to empty this thing out and get a win. So if I'm Green Bay, I'm prepared for anything, any trick play. And special teams, get ready for anything. Like it could be a wild one tomorrow. Like it really could be a wild game. Like any trick play, any special teams trick play. Like it could really be a fun one. It could be fun. Like there could be a lot of cool, fun plays. But from the guys mentally, short week, you just got to be mentally prepared that this thing could get crazy.
Brian, enjoy your Thanksgiving with Abby and the kids, and we will talk to you next week. You're the best.
Well, I'm going to be on with you tomorrow, right? Tomorrow morning.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Hey, should we see if Blue's available when you're eating with your family when we're doing that?
Oh yeah, the halftime digi. Yeah.
You want to see, or
Brian?
Or did you decide to pass
Brian,
on that,
Brian? I'll talk to you tomorrow on Green Bay Game Day
Cindy,
with Alex Strofe.
Blue.
And Aunt Cindy.
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
Pass some cranberries, Wilde.
All right, guys. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That is the great Brian Bulaga. He makes us smarter every week on Wednesdays here on Wilde and Tausch. Tausch, tell us again. This is you do a lot of great stuff, but one of my favorite things you do is this thing with the American Family Insurance Crew and, of course, the AmFam Hospital with you and Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah and I, we have teamed up again with American Family Insurance to raise funds towards the American Family Children's Hospital through a virtual toy drive. All donations go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of children and families across the country. Plus, American Family Insurance will match every dollar donated all the way up to $50,000 through the end of the year. Visit AmFamKids.org to donate today. Again, that's AmFamKids.org to donate and help the cause.
We kick off the 10 o'clock hour late, as we always do with Brian Bulaga, but we're going to do it with another guest. ESPN's Rob Domofsky joins us to start the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.